This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. How you been doing, Nicole? Everything good?
Yeah, it's great. Today is a good day. Yeah.
It is a good day.
I like the texts, you know, I'm getting today much more than I have been the last few weeks.
Although everybody did a very nice job stepping up, but
none of the texts were mean, but they were sad.
I mentioned this an hour ago, but I want to thank you personally because you're this strange mix of my fourth daughter and my best friend and my best coworker and my most trusted ally. And I just want to thank you because I know this has been challenging for you as well.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's been most challenging seeing you go through it because I know it was not easy. But yes, we are a very strange duo, aren't we?
Yeah, it's very, very odd.
Now that you mention it.
And you know, a lot of people don't want me to mention them. Just because guilt by association. But one person I'll mention because I don't think he cares. But to just find out, you know, what fantastic coworkers we have. And one in particular is somebody who's a mutual friend of you and me. And that's John Curley. I got to tell you something. When the last text I get at 11 o'clock at night is, hey, I'm thinking about you. And the first text I get at 6:30 in the morning is, I'm praying for you. And they're both from John Curley. It was just very, very sweet and deeply appreciated. And there are a lot of other people that I deeply appreciate right now. But he's one that, you know, just really was an incredible friend.
And every time I talked to him, he said, how is Dory? I told him, I said, I really do surround myself with great men. I just don't date any of them. They're all so kind, then, though.
And then how about our listeners? Just unbelievable.
Amazing.
Just fantastic response and support. So my thanks to them as well. It was just,
I know that, you know, as far as the listeners go, they were so supportive and doing whatever they can to help you. They wanted to help me. I mean, obviously I couldn't say anything. Nobody could say anything. And I know how frustrating that is because it's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to everyone. And so just know that we felt your frustration, listeners, and we appreciate you like hanging out.
Yeah, but more than anything, felt your love. So thank you. And then to our sponsors as well, who are just fantastic and so supportive through all of this. So let's get to the news here. I mentioned that as we speak, at this moment, Donald Trump is holding a rally in Lansing, Michigan, which is a battleground state. And his strategy, because he is losing in the polling, if we can believe the polls, and I don't know, as far off as they were 4 years ago this week, I have no idea to what extent we can believe the polls. But the president, he's doing three rallies. He's flying all around the country to do rallies in battleground states today. Joe Biden is doing almost nothing. And that's where the president says he's trying to just outwork Joe Biden so that Donald Trump can get reelected.
You know, it's funny. I thought it wasn't going to make it. But one thing, unlike Joe, where he goes into a basement, if he loses, and, you know, who knows what happens, right? It's called an election. He should be ashamed of himself because he didn't work. And, no, seriously, he didn't work. One thing I did five, six, and sometimes seven of these in one day those last few days. And during the regular time, I do two or three. Today I'm doing three of these. Tremendous crowd waiting for us at another bar. This is the second one. So when they told me that information, you know, you feel badly. But I didn't feel bad because I left it. You know, the athletes, they say, we left it all in the field. It was all left.
And he did outwork Hillary 4 years ago. She took states for granted. Joe Biden, though, he says, no, he's on the phone. He's talking to people.
You kept a relatively light public schedule in the past few days. Can you give us a sense of how much you'll be traveling in the next few days, where you might be going?
I just told you where I'm going to be traveling. And I, by the way, I traveled the last few days, too.
Are you going to Iowa,
sir? I'm going to be going to Iowa. I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to Florida and maybe other places as well. There's a lot we've been doing as well in terms of being online and social, everything from fundraising efforts to making sure we meet. I've met today with a group of leaders in the Democratic Party laying out where we're going to go, getting their input and the like. So we're constantly, there's not been a day that hadn't been a 12-hour day yet.
Ooh, 12 hours. I mean, if you want to be president, shouldn't you be putting in 18-hour days? 12 hours. A lot of us work 12-hour days. The problem for Joe, of course, is often he has to try to refute what he has said earlier. During the debate last week, he said again that he's going to get our nation away from oil. Oil is still the lifeblood of our country. So now he's trying to clarify that comment.
I'm not shutting down oil fields. I'm not eliminating fracking. I'm investing in clean energy, and we're going to make sure that we don't continue to subsidize the oil companies. There's two estimates. They get somewhere between $25 billion and $40 billion in subsidies. That money should go in to making sure we do a lot of other good things.
Okay. Now, the other challenge for Joe, of course, is he just keeps making mistakes. He was talking about his spouse and his running mate, Kamala Harris's spouse. So his wife, her husband. But apparently, he thinks that she's married to a woman, I guess.
But my wife, Jill, as you know, and Doug Emhoff, Kamala's wife, are there.
No, he's not. He's not Kamala's wife. It's her husband, crying out loud. And then finally, it's not just the president who's out rallying today, trying to bump up the polls in the final week. His wife, Melania, she is out rallying.
Before my husband decided to run for president, the media loved him because they saw the man that I see every day. Someone tough, successful, and fair.
And handsome!
I agree. A man who sees potential in everyone he meets, no matter their gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation. A man who has a very big heart and have a great sense of humor.
So there you go, Melania making a final week pitch for her husband, the president. Up next in the Fastest 15, let's go across the state to the Inland Empire of Spokane. Crazy story there. So at 10:15 in the evening a couple of nights ago in Spokane, a guy's sitting in his house, and all of a sudden he hears a knock on the door. So he opens the door, and there's a stranger standing there. 36-year-old Randall Davis was asking the homeowner, Travis McKay, for a cigarette. And all of a sudden, the guy standing on the porch just started beating up the homeowner. The homeowner then realized that his dog, the homeowner was knocked unconscious. His dog started trying to revive the homeowner. And when he did come to, he realized he had a knife in his pocket, and he could have fought back and killed the intruder. And he was asked why he didn't just kill the intruder.
Because I'm just not into hurting people, you know? Not on this earth for that.
I'm not into hurting people. He lost consciousness, but it was his dog that woke him up.
Then my dog came up and bit my leg, woke me up, and I remembered I had that knife in my pocket. I got my knees under me and started to try to, you know, kind of worm my way out of what he had. It was just a last-ditch effort. I was going to die.
And he says that with that knife, and with his dog, he was able to take control of the situation.
I held the knife up to him. I told him, I'll cut your throat. I'll cut your head off, dude, if you even move. You know, period. I was like, I'm going to tourniquet you. You better not move. He let me do it. And I tourniqueted him and then came back and found my phone, called 911.
And so he was able to detain the invader. And police showed up, gave first aid to him. And both men were treated for their injuries. The homeowner is not expected to be charged with any crime, of course. The invader is a convicted felon with a history of assault with a deadly weapon, and he's going to be booked into jail for burglary first degree and assault second degree. Next up in the Fastest 15, how would you like to hear this over and over and over for hours on end?
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Okay, I don't mind hearing it one time. It's one of the catchiest TV theme songs ever. But at Waterfront Mansions, down on the Pacific Ocean in Southern California, there are two billionaires who have been fighting. One of them put up a Chihuly glass sculpture, and it's got these glass pieces that stand about 10 feet high, arranged in a garden. He also has put some netting over it because there were some falling palm fronds that broke some of the glass pieces. And so this one billionaire put netting over it. The other billionaire says the netting is cutting off their view of the ocean. So they've been just fighting tooth and nail for months and months and months. And the 76-year-old billionaire, he was a bond trader. He has started just playing the Gilligan's Island theme and other obnoxious songs over and over all night long. And even when he and his young wife, even when they're not at the house, he's arranged to be able to remotely control the music so he can keep blaring the song.
Just sit right back.
Over and over all night long. Man, more money, more problems, right? You're a billionaire. You live on the ocean in Southern California, and you just can't get along with your neighbors. It's horrible. All right, and finally in the Fastest 15, Conan O'Brien. He decided that he wanted to relocate. He's been doing his late night show from his home, and he decided, well, theaters in this region, they are not able to book anybody. And so Conan O'Brien decided he's going to do the show from a local theater. Well, it turns out the theater was robbed, and they took, and the funny thing is, they have, like you've seen at baseball games, so they have the cardboard cutouts of fans sitting in the stands. Well, they've done that in the theater as well. So the burglar had 350 sets of cardboard eyes trained on him as he was stealing laptops and also, you know, those clapboards that they click at the beginning of a scene? You've seen that in the movies forever. That's what this guy stole.
We are taping here at the Largo Theater, the historic Largo Theater, in La Cienega Boulevard, in Los Angeles, West Hollywood. And, you know, We come to this theater because we thought theaters are in trouble. Let's revive a theater. Let's keep it going. Seemed like a nice thing to do.
Right.
Right? What happens? We get here this morning and we find out that someone broke into our little theater and took some of our equipment. Some of the equipment we used to make the show. We got robbed, Andy. Robbed.
Robbed, I tell ya. You know, riffed on that for a few minutes, but as we talked about at the beginning of the show today, here in Seattle, they want to legalize all crime, misdemeanor crime, if the perp is either poor or a drug addict. It's unbelievable, this legalization of crime. Of course, it is going to just create more and more crime everywhere we look. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you
the world.
Hey, coming up next, another old buddy of ours, Dave Wyman. His usual Tuesday visit is coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Survivor? No.
No.
This is from Karate Kid.
That's right.
But who's the artist?
Don't know.
Is it Survivor?
No. No. Dave already guessed Survivor. Are you guys... Should I...
You do that on purpose?
This?
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. No, I don't know it. Who is it?
All right. Not only was this song written about you, Dory Monson, but this is Joe Bean Esposito.
Wow. Did I would never
really
have gotten that.
Expect either of us to get Joe Bean.
Not Esposito. Really, but it was my way of Esposito. Saying Dory's the best around and no one ever down. Stop blah, it. Blah, blah.
Stop it. Dave Wyman is with us. Hey, Dave.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Is great. The question.
I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah, I was mentioning at the beginning of the hour what great friends I have with you and your lovely wife being among them. It's nice to we saw you guys a couple of times the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. It's been cool getting together and yeah. You know, enjoying your off time. So anyway, yeah, it was good. It was good. Good time. Good time was had by all.
Yes, indeed. So, did you hear this story? There was a crazy story surrounding the Seahawks game on Sunday night. I mean, the game itself was pretty crazy. Did you hear about these three women who came within in a whisker of winning, of splitting $1 million?
No.
So, you know how on Fox Sports, they have a gambling app. And it's legal in 49 states. Washington is the only state where it's not legal. Mm-hmm. But it's not really, it's like they want to get you started so they can hook you gambling down the road, I think. But they have this free game where you have to predict the outcome of six football games. And you have to pick a point spread range. So you say, well, yeah, I think the Seahawks are going to win by 3 points or one, two, or 3 points. Well, three women picked around the country. They picked the first five games correctly, and they all had the same pick on the Seahawks game. It was that the Seahawks would win by 1, 2, or 3 points.
Wow.
And it looked, and so they would have all split $1 million, $333,000 each. And I read a story where they talked to all three of these ladies. One of them was 68-year-old from Austell, Georgia, a 49-year-old in Niles, Ohio. But the Seahawks were up three with just a few minutes left. And then the game went to overtime, where there's a really good chance that the Seahawks could have won by three. Mm-hmm. But instead, Arizona won, and so none of them got to split the $1 million.
Man, I'll bet you, I mean, I could just can't imagine. We were all on the edge of our seats. But you know, after they missed the field goal in overtime, I was accused of jinxing them, but I was like, okay, this game's over. You know, Russ is going to take it down, and they're gonna end up winning this game. And then Russ throws the inexplicable interception there. And, you know, and he had a few, you know, and that's the thing about Russell is that, not to get in away from the gambling thing, but, you know, it's just, he's human. You know, I mean, he's gonna make plays like that every once in a while. And you just can't rely on him to put up, you know, 40 points every game. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm sure that those ladies all knew, you know, the record with Russell Wilson. Once that field goal gets missed, what's he at, 34? Fourth quarter and overtime come from behind wins.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily come from behind, but fourth quarter and, you know, overtime wins. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy, and I can only imagine how they were just going crazy.
One of the women didn't even watch the game, even though she knew she was – because a guy from the app called all three of them and said, "You three are still alive, and if you hit this last one, you get split $1 million." And one of the ladies said that she and her husband were planning on watching a horror movie that night, and they stuck with the plan.
Yeah, they should have just watched the game.
Exactly.
The same effect.
But even more frightening. Yeah. But anyway, so that was the sad story of those three ladies that I saw. Okay, I got a couple other things in the news that I want to talk with you about, including. I was wondering about this. Bunch of rappers. I don't want to get all political with you, but a bunch of rappers now have come out in support of the president. And the latest was rapper Lil Pump. It just got me to thinking, have you decided yet what your rap name would be?
No, I've not thought about that. Boy, you should have sent me a text or an email. I could have come up with something.
I know. Well, I'll give you a few minutes here. If you can come up with something by the end of the next break.
How about Big Dopey?
Big... No, but you're not dopey. You're a very smart man. You went to Stanford, for crying out loud. That wouldn't be a fitting name for you.
I'll tell you what. Do you appreciate rap? I mean, I used to listen to Young MC, and he, at the time, he was like supposedly the fastest rapper, and I think he got like a business degree from USC or something, and yeah, he was just this really super sharp guy. But in order to spit those words, as they say, and keep it straight, I mean, it's quite a talent. It is, to me, it's every bit as good as, you know, learning to play the guitar really well, or drums, or piano, or whatever. It's pretty impressive. But I used to listen to, back when, now I'm going to forget his name, but Big Butts, you know, our guy that we had on 12th Man Flag.
Sure.
Who's the local guy?
Sir Mix-a-Lot,
of course.
Yeah. Well, and I remember he had one of his guys was Kid Sensation, and he came out to practice one time. And I remember going over and talking to him and telling him how much I love his music. But yeah, that was something that I kind of got into in the NFL because it was always on the radio, and I just came to appreciate it. But I never thought that I would be a rapper, so I have not thought of a name.
What
would you be? Do you have this?
D Money.
D-Money.
I don't know.
That one might be taken.
It's already probably taken. I know. Somebody called me that once. The only challenge.
Sounds like something Brock would say.
Yeah, it really does. The challenge for me was when I was coaching, the girls like to, you know, pick the music before games. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm fine with what you pick, but it has to be a clean version, you know, like a radio edit.
Yeah.
And in one game, I heard a word during pregame warmups that was not clean. And so we banned all pregame music for two games because it wasn't clean enough.
Yeah.
It made me quite the square, Dave.
Yeah, well. Maybe that would be your name.
Quite the square. Yeah.
Quite the square.
All right, speaking of music, Sean, play us into break, And I'll ask our listeners if you have a suggestion for Dave Wyman's rap name. Text us at 98973. It's 98973.
Sugar Hill Gang?
No, no. I wasn't able to get this to the hook because I was searching for songs.
No.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, he's the newest in allegiance with Trump.
Oh, is this Lil Pump?
No, well, not the newest, I guess. The newest from 2 days ago or whatever.
Oh, who's that?
Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah, Ice Cube came out for the president. And the reason is they all want to keep more of their money. They're afraid that taxes are going to skyrocket if Trump does not get reelected. Okay, tell you what, let me take a quick time out. We'll continue our conversation with Dave Wyman. And text us at 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Beyonce?
No, Dory. Sorry.
I knew that was wrong.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. You're skunking us today, Sean.
Come on. We got a pro ex-footballer and a broadcast star that can't get this. It's Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Rihanna! Of course. Oh, well. It's still 0-0. The next one we'll decide it, Dave.
I blame Sean.
Oh, I blame Sean for lots of stuff.
Sound just like my parents, Dave.
lot of rapper names coming in for you on the text line, Dave.
Oh, do I want to hear?
Ryman Wyman is a very popular one.
That sounds more like a folk singer.
Ryman, yeah, that's right. Who just cut a kid's record. Yeah. Let's see. Rapper Big Woe Man. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. A lot of people just want to call you the Y Man, but didn't Kevin Calabro try to hang that nickname on you already?
Yeah, he did. And then Pete calls me that every once in a while. I'll never forget after the third preseason game of Russell Wilson's rookie year. And I got on the plane, and that was when Russ, like, busted out and threw a couple touchdowns. He took a couple of hits. He ran. He was doing everything. And it was pretty clear that he was going to be the starting quarterback. And when I got on the plane, Pete had this big smile on his face. He's sitting in the front row. He's like, "What do you think of that, why, man?" And I looked at him. I go, "Pete, that was bleeping awesome." And he just had a big smile on his face, and that was when we found out that Russ was going to be something special.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know why that didn't stick on you, the Y-Man. Everybody's tried.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you get all these nicknames, like somebody, Gail Gilbert, one of the backups, called me Y-Monster for forever, and, you know, there are certain guys that still call me that whenever I see them, and then... And then my rookie year, somebody dubbed me Norman Bates. Because I had I'd gotten in a fight, and then I had this really short haircut that I kind of looked like Anthony Perkins. Which I told my mom, like, great, they gave me this name, Norman. And I remember every time I did something on film or whatever when I was a rookie, that where I got in a fight or something like that, one of the other linebackers would make this stabbing sound, like... like, because I guess, yeah, I thought like I was a mass murderer or something like that. But
nice.
Bad haircut. So, yeah, there's people that call me Norman every once in a while, like maybe three or four of my old teammates. But, yeah, you don't get to pick. Like, I wanted to be like George Costanza and say, well, everybody calls me T-Bone. You know, remember when he tried to make up his name and they started calling him Coco and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, you don't get to pick your nickname. And then if you react too much to it, then, yeah, it's not good. So
our first program director, the guy who gave me this talk show, he always called me Heavy D.
Heavy D. Yeah. Well, your wife called you D, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Have you heard this at the on the Seahawk game when Buda Baker made that interception? It looked like he was going to run it back for a touchdown, and DK Metcalf chased him down. Buda Baker was mic'd up, and we just got this audio in.
Yeah! How'd he catch my? I was tired of boy. He ran me the down.
He's surprised that he got Buda Baker from Bellevue High School, yeah. Of course. And, he was surprised that he got chased down from behind.
He was pretty gracious about it. I mean, he did you hear what Cliff Kingsbury said? He goes, yeah, I thought he was going to score until I saw that big stallion of a man tracking him down. But that was, I don't want to be too corny, but like I almost got like choked up watching that. Like it made me proud to be a football player because that film will be played for forever by every high school mm-hmm. coach and college coach of, you know, this is why you never quit. And then it ends up being they stopped him. They got a stop down near the goal line. So, yeah, it was just incredibly inspiring. DK Metcalf is an amazing man. He's very humble. And you know that, like, I almost felt like that was his retribution for – or, you know, he's making up for the fact that he fumbled through the end zone. Because that was so not like him in the Dallas game where he didn't secure the ball and get across the goal line. But, you know,
another play that high school coaches will show kids.
Yeah.
On the flip side. So he's got one on each side of things now.
Yeah, and show them back to back. You know, first show that this is why, you know, and then he makes up for it by doing that. So it just, I said this until, you know, Tyler Lockett, I thought, was the best. Since I've been working with the Seahawks, you know, certain guys have really stood out as rookies. Lofa Tatupu was an amazing rookie. Just his humility, his knowledge, his play, everything. I just loved Lofa, one of my favorite all-time Seahawks. But Tyler Lockett was that way, too, his rookie year. But last year, I thought DK Metcalf, the best rookie, and just humble, gracious, wants to learn, eyes wide open, stays late. You know, gets there early, has lots of questions. So he so deserved that. But that was a fantastic. And I don't think too many people are going to give Buda Baker a hard time for getting run down. This is Sade, isn't it? Sade.
Oh, yeah. Doggone it.
Speaking of smooth operators, Dave.
Maybe that should be my name. Smooth operators.
And you got that even while you were talking. I was trying to concentrate on the song and not pay attention to what you were saying. You
like
figured
you usually
it out
do?
While you were talking. Yes, exactly. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me on. Welcome back.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right, Dave Wyman with us. Big lead to 2. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.